But I want to encourage you that there is one that can use your life to the most incredible tune, to make you, or can I say this with respect, can play you skillfully, and that is the one that loves you. And it's for each one of us to just yield more to God, to say, Father, what do you want to do with this life? And I really just sense this morning that when distractions, when pain, when stuff comes into our lives, the sole purpose of those things are to distract us from letting our lives, glorify God. Because we get so consumed about the stuff that is happening. And I mean, currently in our world, there's stuff happening. And we can all get freaked out about the stuff that's happening. And yet, Jesus, He's still on the throne. So we can pray and we can trust God and we can see God's face and we can trust Him to move in our lives. Now, I want to preach this morning just on a simple message, I guess, saying yes. But before I do it, I want us to read Matthew 7. Now, before you put Matthew 7 on, just hang on a sec. This is one of those scriptures. This is one of those scriptures that can I say, I'm scared of. It rocks my world. It makes me think. It makes me weigh where I'm at and what I'm doing and so on, because this scripture says so much. It's one of those scriptures that we don't put it on our bumpers. Those of you that remember when we still put bumper stickers on our cars. Now it's your Facebook status or it's your WhatsApp status on, I don't know, things are evolving so much I don't have no status any longer. So, because but this is not the scripture that you're necessarily going to put on possibly even your fridge. Because if you do, and you have to read it, then you have to listen to it. And it's gonna drop a weight just on what you are thinking about. So Matthew 7:21, and I'm really sorry to do this to you this morning, but I have to preach about it. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Come on, just there already. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. In other words, not everyone that calls out my name, that says, you are Lord, will enter the kingdom. Now, that freaks me out. As a Christian, never mind a pastor, as a Christian, I want to make sure I get this right. We understand that for God so loved the world that he gave his son, yeah, so that the world will be saved. So why does Jesus say this? If you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are saved, right?
Yes.
We agree on that.
Yes.
But here he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom. Makes me want to be cautious. Makes me want to go, so what is this about, Lord? Okay, let's continue. But only the person who does what my Father in heaven wants. Now that draws the line in the sand in a big way. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter my Father's kingdom. But those who does what he says. In other words, this implies action. In actual fact, if you really think about it, it implies hearing first. I have to hear before I can do. I guess the question is, am I listening? Am I listening? Or is everything that is going on, is that what I'm listening to? None of you, of course. You are sanctified, set apart. You know, going into Pastor Summit, by the way, if you didn't know, I was at Pastor Summit this week. All the churches all over South Africa and overseas, some of the pastors flew down. We met in Hermanus. We had a glorious time in God's presence. Had some awesome speakers speaking to our lives. And the theme for the camp or the summit was Dare to Dream. And Pastor Heinrich's message was, we need to do that. Yeah, but Pastor Heinrich, have you seen what's going on in the world? Yes, so what? Let's dare to dream. And I don't want to get into that, because that's a whole sermon on its own. But let's return to this awesome scripture. Verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not force out demons and do many miracles and powers and authority of your name? Now, if I read that, this looks like a church person. This looks like someone. I mean, come on. How many of you have driven out demons before? All right? The select few. These are people that if we would look at their lives, we'd say, yeah, but we see fruit, right? They are prophesying, they are driving out demons, and they are doing miracles. Again, this makes me cautious. This makes me want to evaluate, where am I at? What am I busy doing with? What's going on in this thing that I call life? Then I will tell them publicly, and that struck me, is that Jesus' response is not going to be some in some corner somewhere, ashamed, let me just have a chat with you. These people that he's speaking about, he responds to them publicly, and he says, I never know you. Who of you know that you can live in the same house with someone but don't know them? You are in each other's vicinity. You can even sit around the table, but you will never know them. That's why people can say, I'm between lots of people and I'm still alone. Because here's the thing, to know someone, if we can use marriage, it gets very intimate. I know stuff about her. I think worse is that she knows stuff about me. Which she can use. She sees me in ways that none of you do. Full color, brother. Full color. And I think that to me is what Jesus is. HD. Yeah, I love the new terminology. But this is what Jesus is saying. You can be in my vicinity, but I don't know you. I don't know about you guys, but that freaks me out. That me wants to make me run into a closet, shut it, and just pray and spend time in his presence so that I can know him. You know, if you've been married, come and say, more than 10 years. Because I don't know if in 5 years you get this, but around about at some point, you don't talk anymore. We'll be visiting with people, and she turns to me, and I turn to her, and then we need to leave. Nothing in the face changed. Or we're talking to the boys, and I'm saying something, and then she finishes it, and it was exactly what was in my head, and I'm thinking. There's this unity, there's this oneness that comes in a marriage relationship or deep relationship where you get to the place where you finish one another's sentences. Where I know what she loves and how she loves it. And I think what Jesus is saying here is that you can have all the fluff, but do you know me? And then he says, get away from me, you evil people. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears what I say and obeys it or does it or practices it will be like a wise person who built his house on the rock. And now I think I can close the service right here because I think you've got way enough to go and think about. Go put this scripture on your fridge. You see what I'm saying about the scripture? This is not a fridge or bumper sticker scripture. Maybe it should be. The guy driving behind you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. What then? So if he bumps you then to get your attention because he needs answers, don't be surprised. Yeah, then it becomes a blessing. Okay? You see, South African stats will say to us that we are a Christian nation. We consider ourselves that, right? We are a Christian nation. In other words, we are lots of people that are saying, Lord, Lord. But this portion of scripture invites us to count the cost. You see, it's easy to say, Lord, Lord, but not reflect the cost of calling him Lord. The price that it costs to call him Lord. Because as far as I understand it, it costs me just one thing to call him Lord and Savior. It costs me my life. And this life is a life that's supposed to go, Lord, Lord. See, society has reached the point where Christianity has become common. But it no longer reflects that cost of what it costs to follow Christ. A life completely surrendered, laid down. A life that is submitted to him 100%. When he speaks, I obey. When others speak in contrary to what God's word says, then I will stand. These days, I guess most people will just go like, I don't want to offend you with my opinion. We have become a people of choices. Why do I say choices? You see, because when he speaks, I suddenly filter it through my phase of life, my financial status, where I am spiritually, my emotions or, you know, just physical well-being. I've got all these filters that I put up when he says to me, do this. And I go like, excuse me, Lord. No, can't do it that way. No. I have choices. I guess my default response is not necessarily yes. So when I went to Pastor Summit and I was kind of going, you know, what would be my expectation for Pastor Summit? Pastor Summit is always for me a bit of a tamaleki because she is at school and I have to go alone. And then all the guys are there with their wives and their children and everything. And I'm all alone. She poor me. But I went and I said, Lord, I want something this day. And my one thought was, Lord, can I agree that this time around, all I want to say is yes. Whatever you say, I'll say yes. Ooh, scary. Can I maybe just illustrate this? In John 15:13, it says, the greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends. If that's His instruction to you, will you do it? Will you say yes? Okay, that's maybe a hard one, so let's pick an easier one. Matthew 28:19 says, "So whenever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Will you go? Or do you filter it first? Lord, I don't have the finances to go. So, I don't know if you've seen this movie. Do you know the Yes Man movie? Have you seen the Yes Man? Stupid movie. But in any case, Jim Carrey. But in any case. So in this movie, if you haven't seen it, just maybe a quick recap. So in this movie, he's just like, you know, he just like does whatever he wants in life. You know, he's got no ambition, no nothing. And then a friend of him takes him to this conference. And this conference is this very charismatic guy, you know, convincing people to say yes. So he is this interaction, and it comes to a point where he challenges them for, I think it was like the next 48 hours or something, just to say yes to everything. Doesn't matter the request, that he will just say yes. So he walks out of the conference, and the first guy, what did he ask him? Yes, he wanted to use his cell phone or money. And a lift or something there. So he walks out of this conference, and this guy comes and he says, "Can I use your phone?" So now he said, inside, he'll say yes. Now he's going like, "I'm not so sure I want to do this." Anyway, so he decides to go, and he gives the guy his phone, and this guy makes a call, and he talks now. And then while he's talking, he says, "Listen, can you give me a lift to whatever park?" So now he has to go, yes. So they get in the car, and they're driving. And I mean, there's probably about 5 minutes of this movie where they're driving, and this guy's just like sitting on the phone and so on, and eventually his airtime runs out, and they get to the middle of nowhere, because this guy's a bergie. And he drops him off at the park, and he says, "Can you give me some money?" So he pulls out a roll of notes, and he like, you know, takes one or two off, and he says, "But can I have everything?" And he goes like, "Sure." And he gives him the roll of money. And the guy gets out of his car and so on, and he wants to turn his car around, and then the car doesn't want to start. And now he's angry, because now he's done everything, and he's given his money, and now he can't even phone us. And he has to walk to town to go and fetch petrol. And I so, you know, as I was driving, just this, the thought of what this guy was going through. Now, he took it a bit far, obviously, because he got himself into terrible situations and so on, just having to say yes. But I just thought, what if my response as a Christian to a loving Father, a God who is passionate about me, a God who has an agenda for my life, a God who knows exactly where He wants to take me, what if my response to Him is simply always yes? Not maybe, not what if, not no, but when I hear Him, I'm yes. I'm default yes. What will change in this life? Where are you at it this morning? What is your default answer as a Christian? Do you actually even have one? Is your default answer, "I'll get back to you, Lord"? See, here's the thing, as parents, we want our children to obey us the first time that we speak, right? And if they don't, they will see Jesus. Or it's going to be nach before they get there. But I mean, something's going to happen. But just think about this for a moment. Just think about this. What if your default answer was yes? When God says to you, "Pray for that person," you go, "Yes." And everything in you feels like there's a storm raging. I'm freaked out. I don't even know how to pray, Lord. I'm not sure what to pray, Lord. But you said, pray, Lord, and my answer is yes, so I'll just do it. What's going to change? If God says to you, listen, I want you to do children's ministry. He's done that to me. Go do that. I was like, excuse me. There's a few other people that are very much well suited for this job. Why are you sending me? But my answer was yes. Did it for a year. It was insane. I'm still okay, you know. God says to you, start a discipleship group at work. Yes, Lord. Go and pray for your boss. No, Lord. What if the answer is yes? Excuse me, sir. Can I just be obedient? God says I must pray for you. What can I pray for? I know as a leader, sometimes you just need someone to walk into your office and go, can I pray for you? Because everything is just... God says to you, go give 2,000 rand to that person or ministry. Yes, Lord. And you know there's 1,500 in your budget left. What if he says pray more, serve more, go on mission. Encourage that person or do this or that. What if my answer is yes? How will your life change if your response is just yes? So what will it mean when you say yes? I think for me, first thing is that when I say yes, and if I look at that scripture, is that I will hear him first. In other words, I'm actually hearing God. He's saying to me, and listen, when you're young and you're young in the faith, there is some faith required to hear God. And you will make mistakes, and that's okay. That's how we grow. Jesus says, go pray for that person. You get there, it's like, I don't want your prayers. Did you hear wrong? No, maybe he just doesn't want your prayers. John 10:27 says this, my sheep hear my voice. When you want to say yes, you will hear his voice. Because if your default answer is going to be yes, then Jesus would really want to speak to you and instruct you in the way that you should. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So if I say yes, it's not just that I hear his voice, it's that now I can follow him. Because he's leading me now. He's in charge of my day. When I say yes, it will mean that I know him and that I obey him unreservedly. Why? Because my default's yes. It also means that I trust him wholeheartedly. But the amazing thing is that he trusts me with an assignment. I'm trusting him as he guides me, but he's also trusting me with that assignment to go pray or do whatever he's instructing you to do. It will mean that I'm sold out to his agenda, not mine. To his mission on this earth, not mine. Just saying yes changes everything. It will mean that I've resolved in my heart that yes is my default answer, regardless of the question or the instruction that comes from. Can you imagine South Africa, Christian nation, if all the Christians simply said yes to Jesus? Not to some religious leader or instruction. I mean actually communing with him, knowing him, walking with him, being intimate with him, and then he says, I want you to do this. And you know it's him because my sheep hear my voice and they know my voice. So I know it's him that's speaking to me because I'm in there with him, and then he says, I want you to do this, and I go, yes. So sometimes we hear stuff and we want to respond. You know, we actually just want to do something, but I'm not intimate with him. I'm a Lord, Lord kind of Christian. And then I get it wrong and I get hurt and I'm like all freaked out because I actually don't know him. So please understand me in this, in saying yes, the first invitation for you and me is intimacy. Is that closed door? Is that scripture? Is continually being in word and prayer? It's the fellowship of the saints. It's the basics of Christianity. If you look at scripture, I mean, the scripture is full of guys that said yes. My first one is Moses. I had to start there because he's in the beginning. This is Exodus 3:10. Now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh so you can bring my people, Israel, out of Egypt. If you go read that portion, he didn't initially say yes. And understandably so, because he knew Pharaoh. When Jesus says, do this, sometimes our problem is that we know Pharaoh. And like, have you seen Pharaoh, Lord? He's pretty nasty, that dude. And still he responds, and we read this amazing account of how God uses one man to deliver his people, to do most incredible miracles. Man, that ocean opening up. Oh. Get to the Orange River. I'm going to Namibia. No passport required. Man, I can do that. Abram, God comes to you in Genesis 12:1. He says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your land, your relatives, so you can't even take family, and your father's home, your whole inheritance. He says, go to the land that I will show you. Who of you will go? Who of you will take out the spreadsheet? And then verse 4. So Abram left. Is that not beautiful? I says, hey, listen, I want you to leave everything. So he goes, I'll leave. What a response! And the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 21 when he 75 years old. I mean, he's got an inheritance, he's got everything sorted, man. Oh, everything is fine. God comes to him 75 and he goes like, leave everything. I've got you. None of us here would probably say yes. I thought I love him. And he left. And Abram left. Yes, Lord. Genesis 22, verse 2. God said to him, take your son. Okay, this is where he loses me. Sorry. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to Moriah and sacrifice him. Now, there God would have lost me. If you go read the accounts of people, and there's a long list. I mean, you go read the Old Testament. Esther, Gideon, Joshua, David, Joseph, David, okay, David Tweaker. David. Peter, Paul, Timothy, and Jesus. That simply had in one answer. Yes, go preach the gospel there. Yes. Go do this. Yes. Go deliver my people. Yes. Were they scared? Yes, you read these guys were scared. So if you are scared, I want to tell you, you're in a good place. Just do what Abram did. Just leave. When that Genesis 2, he says, you know, take your son and send him. Verse 3 says, early the next morning, Abram saddled his donkey. There was no delay. It's like, go sacrifice your son. Sure, Lord. Pocket donkey. And off we go. Oh, that is to me. Matthew 7:24, coming back to Matthew 7 again. Therefore, everyone who hears what I say and obeys it will be like a wise person who built his house on a rock. So we want to be some wise people here. And it says, and the rain poured and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against that house, but it did not collapse. Do you want to not have a life that falls apart? That hear him, know him intimately, and do what he says. Verse 26. Everyone who hears what I say and doesn't obey it will be like a foolish person who built his house on the sand. The rain poured and the floods came. Winds blew and struck that house and it collapsed. And its result was total disaster. What is Jesus saying to you right now? Maybe even as I'm preaching, he's going, you remember when I told you this? And you're like, no. How many of you have heard God actually, and then you think, no, that must be from the devil? Thank you for being honest. You can come again. I've done that. It's Lord, how can you do that? How can you, Near man. This cannot be the Lord. Maybe I should have just said yes. What's your response going to be to God when he does speak to you? Like I said in the beginning, are you even listening? Maybe you should just declutter your life a bit to hear his voice. Matthew 28:18 says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go. So we've got the backing of heaven. Verse 20, and remember, I am always with you until the end. You are not going alone. Acts 5:29 says, Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. And as I went to Pastor Summit, I thought, I can ask counsel from lots of people, and I've got really amazing people in my life that I can ask advice from and get input from and so on. But I want to know him. I don't just want to go, Lord, Lord. I don't just want to drive demons out and see healings and do all these amazing things, but not know him intimately. So I want to invite you this morning to a life where your default answer to God is yes. A life where you trust him to lead and guide your life in a radical manner as what he wants to do. But you see, if you say yes to him, it does imply that you say no to yourself. To your own desires, your own plans. Why do people pack up everything and move to India? On a simple word from the Lord. It makes no financial sense. We've got a pastor that used to be in PE, wife and three children, and God said, go to PE. Ach, to India. And I'll be honest, when I heard that, I thought, yo, pickies, man. India. Hello. You've seen some movies. From a parent point of view, it's like, Lord, really, do you want my kids to be raised there? And he goes like, I want you to go. They packed up everything. They're still there. I think it's now 5 years. 4 years. Simple obedience. Pack your stuff and leave. See, I guess the question this morning, or the choice we had, is we can be the house that's built on the solid rock or the house that's on the sand. Which one are you going to be? Because you do have a choice. You do have a choice on how you're going to respond. Saying yes to God, every moment of every day will transform your life radically. So say yes. Please say yes. Please hear his voice. Don't be afraid. Trust him.